Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I wish that some of the stuff that we get, it was just opinions, right? Because opinions can be right or wrong, that kind of thing. But when it's the word of the Lord, that's a little bit different. And brother, it's like, wow, you know, what do you say when somebody says the word of the Lord, and then it's something you really don't want to hear, right? It's like, woo! I wish that was just somebody's opinion. But it isn't. So if you like the word of the Lord, one of the things that it does, it prepares us. We should be the most prepared people on the earth, those who are walking in the prophet realm and hearing what the prophets say and listen correctly. It's really, 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 really important to listen correctly. And so when you learn to listen correctly, that's everything. Even Jesus said in Luke 8, he said, be careful how you hear or understand. You know, hearing is how you understand. So when you hear something, you interpret it, or you hear it, you go, yeah, that means this, or whatever. So he said, be careful how you understand or how you hear, or how well you listen. In my teaching, he says, okay, be careful how you hear my teaching. Whoever has, to him will be given more. Whoever doesn't have, from him will be taken away, even that which he thinks he has. Wow. And then he goes on down just in the next verse. There's a whole different situation going on here. Whole different situation, but it's kind of like a continuation. He says, you know, the true family of God is, I don't know what you're talking about. This is in where Jesus says, I have the exact scripture to go here. Okay, Luke 8. Yeah, we're still in Luke 8. Luke 8, verse 19. He says, you know, then Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they couldn't get in because of the crowd. It was so big. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, Jesus, and they want to see you. Jesus replied, my mother and my brothers are all those who hear God's word and obey it. Wow. Hear God's word and obey it. You know, so when you hear, how do you hear? Because hearing is like, you know, when people hear something, they either they completely don't understand it, or they understand it in a way that they hear it. In other words, if I tell you God's going to bless you, it's about money. Some people think it's about, you know, a husband or a wife or a family. Some people think it's about whatever you're looking for the blessing to be. That's what you'll interpret that as, right? So if Jesus could have been talking about something completely different. He could have been talking about something totally spiritual, you know, or whatever. But it's how we hear. So, you know, I know that, you know, as a prophet, and many times, you know, I listen to the words that come out of my mouth because sometimes they're so spontaneous and so, you know, just comes right out that I'm hearing it for myself. Many of you heard me with the ears. So like, wow, that was cool. And I mean, I literally mean that. It's like, wow, that's cool. I've never heard that before. Literally, and it's literally what I mean. You know, you've never really heard it before, or brought that way, or presented that way. So, you know, and even though you hear the information, many times when I hear the information, I'm going like, wow, that's like, I remember when we were going through the election, and the word came out right after all the television stations said that Biden won on November 7th. I came out like the next day or so, I can't remember exactly, and I got on the show, and I'm going along here, and I just got all wound up, and I said, and the Lord said, Trump's not going to win any of his 50 or 60 lawsuits, not one of them. They're not even going to accept any of them. You know, and I heard myself say that, because Jesus says, be careful how you hear. I heard myself say that, you know, and I was kind of like shocked. I went, oh, no, I can't back up on that. It's like, you know, the Lord just, because he gives you so much energy and so much zeal when something's coming out of you, you just going like, you know what's going to happen. You know what he says is true. But then when you go back and you start thinking about it, and you start thinking about the possibilities of how that word might not come to pass, you know, even though it was God's word and it was going to come to pass, you start thinking about all the, like, the possibilities, the numbers game, you know, like, okay, what percentage rate is that if they just get one? I mean, that's going to be like, that's going to take some major stuff. They get about 60 lawsuits going out. They get one of those. That's like a very small percent of getting something. Surely they're going to get something right. I mean, surely they're going to get one of them. You know, your mind starts thinking. And so, you know, I mean, I didn't know. I just heard the Lord say, I didn't know what it was. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. And so you know you can't contradict it. You can't. So how you hear things is amazingly important. You know, how you hear it, because how you hear it, how you hear the word of the Lord, or how you hear Scripture and his teaching, how you hear that will be whether you get changed and blessed and you enter into the blessing of God, or you just kind of go your own way. You take the word and you understand it your own way and you go your own direction with it, whatever that would be, and you totally miss it. You know, you totally miss it. So how you hear the word is extremely important. He said, take heed how you hear it. Be careful how you do it. Be careful how you interpret it. Be careful how you understand his word. Because when you hear it, hearing is like, you're going like, okay, you know, if somebody had a dream about a rapture, right, like a catching away, that's what God's saying. And yet God never said which rapture it was or what kind of rapture it was. You know, if they believe that it's going to be a post-trib rapture or pre-trib rapture, mid-trib, whatever they believe, that's how they're going to interpret it, unless God tells them really strongly that it's something different from what they think, right? So sometimes we can hear something, and we interpret it along the lines of what we already believe. And so God's saying, I think God is really saying to us to cleanse your heart. Let me change the way you think. Let me change the way you interpret things. Don't interpret everything according to your beliefs, because some of your beliefs may be wrong, right? Because you can see people arguing over Scripture, and they'll take the same Scriptures and go two different ways with it. And when you listen to them longer, you're like, they both sound like they're right, and yet the Scripture's saying one thing, but they're interpreting it as, you know, one way, and the other interpreting it just the opposite. And you're going like, okay. So they say the Greek and Hebrew says this, and the Greek and Hebrew says that, and they both quote the Greek and Hebrew, and they come up with two different things. But you see, friend, it's how you hear it. Be careful how you hear, because if what you, the traditions that you have, maybe the things that you believe, maybe the things that you were raised with, maybe some of them were right, maybe some of them were wrong, and you still believe some of those things today, whatever they are, whether it's about marriage, whether it's about raising your children, whether it's about you know, biblical doctrine, what's about pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, rapture, you know, whatever the thing is, so every time you hear the word rapture, if God says there's going to be a rapture tomorrow, you're going to like, okay, all right, you know, not tomorrow, it's going to be a rapture, and he says it's going to be soon, you're going like, okay, so I believe in that mid-trib rapture, so we're going to be midway through the tribulation before it happens, so we must be really close to that. But if you believe in the post-trib, you say, okay, so it could be a few more years away because post-trib, you know. So it's how you hear things. See, if you have yourself full of tradition and you just swear up and down what you believe is right, you just know it's right. Because you've been trained it, you've been taught it, and even if it's wrong, I've been taught some things that were wrong. They weren't evil wrong, they were just wrong. And God has begun to show me things that I've believed all my life through doctrine, and I had scriptures and preached it and blah, blah, blah. And the Lord says, you know, you're not hearing that right. You're not hearing that right. You're not understanding that right. When you hear that, you're interpreting it wrong. You're not understanding it. So he says, be careful how you hear. Right? Be careful how you hear about my teaching. For whoever has what? Has truly understands what his word is saying instead of what our tradition says, or I'm talking about my tradition. I'm not just talking about everybody else's except me. I'm talking about mine, some that I've had. And the traditional teachings I had were against the traditional teachings of the people before us. And so we said, we don't want to be traditional, so we were totally different than them. And yet, it was all wrong. You understand what I'm saying, friend? So if our heart is cleansed and washed, and when God began to change the way I thought about things, when he changed the way I believed about things, now when I hear the word of God, I hear something completely different. And I've never been more on track with things than I have in my whole life. Not because I'm a prophet or I'm here better than everybody else. No, it's because God is changing me. He's opening my, he's taking things that I believe, the way I believe them, the way I interpret them, like once saved, always saved, or, you know, how many times do you sin before you lose your salvation? You know, are you saved no matter what? You know, I mean, it's like, what do you believe with that? You know, is all of it true, or is any of it true, or it can't all be true? So what's true? Maybe something different than what we think, because we've already got our mind made up what we mean. So if you've already got your mind up what something means, when you hear something close to it, you're going to interpret it, oh, yeah, that means that. That means what I believe. Oh, well, you got somebody else who believes something completely different. They go, well, no, that confirms what I believe. And so, friend, how we hear things. So what I really believe God wants to do, we're going to, maybe as we take communion tonight, we may remember to do this, is to get ourselves cleansed and washed from tradition, from things that men have taught us, things maybe even I've taught. You know, I'm not talking about all the people we consider carnal or against our you know, spirit-filled beliefs. You know, I really want to get completely out of that realm, you know, and start asking God to show me what he says. What does your word really say, God? What does that really mean? Because, friend, goes on and he says, somebody's trying to call me on you call me on the ministry. All right. So you know, if you already have your mind made up that the word of God means something, and maybe you're wrong, or maybe you're partially wrong, that is going to cause you to not have. You're gonna find yourself not having what you think you have, because that's what he says. He says, "For whoever has, to him will be given more." And to whoever doesn't have, from him will be taken away even that which he thinks he has. Sometimes, you know, there's many things just in the last few years that I thought I had, and yet they were producing no truth or no real results in my life. And God says, I want you to change. I want to cleanse your heart. I want to wash you. I want to establish you upon my word according to my spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation will teach you, friend, the Holy Spirit will teach you the ways of God, but we have to be willing to lay our traditions down. And most people are not willing to do that because they've hung on it for so long that if they start thinking that they're not right, it scares them half to death. They get in fear. They start freaking out. I've done it. Oh, man, I can't teach against telling Jesus' word, because all my friends do it. If I do that, I'm going to get rejected. And, you know, kind of did a little, you know, a bit, but you see what I'm saying? It's how you, be careful how you hear my teachings, how you hear them. For whoever has, in other words, when you hear his teachings correctly, when you have it right, when God shows you by the Holy Spirit, to that person more will be given. In other words, when you get it right, more right stuff will be given to you. But when you got it wrong, he's going to take away. He says to him who whoever doesn't have, in other words, doesn't get it right, from him will be taken away even that which he thinks he has. How many things in your and my life do we think we have? Do we think we understand? What do we think we understand about money? What we think we understand about tithing and giving and giving? What we think we believe about, you know, our salvation? What we think about healing? What we think about deliverance? What we think about a lot of things? So God is trying to tweak our hearing, but when we hear, and we don't misinterpret it, we don't take it out of context or whatever and go our own direction with it and end up with nothing because we think we got it, but we really don't. And that's happened with me the last couple of 2, 3, 4 years. God's been really just, you know, showing me stuff, man. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I've never understood this stuff before. Like about the spirit man being seated with Christ and what that means when he's seated. When you're truly born again, your spirit man is seated with Christ in heaven's places. When you get a hold of that, when you see that, and some of us are not going to, may never see it, and we're praying that some will take the bread and eat it and let God show you. It's not that Randy and whoever your pastor is or your teachers are, they don't give you the revelation. They preach it, they teach it, but God's the one who gives the understanding. Jesus told Peter, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, my Father did. In other words, the spirit of revelation showed him, said Jesus was the Messiah. And Peter went, well, I think so. I'm not really sure. I think he is. Yeah, he's got to be. Sounds like he is. But he didn't really know for positively sure until the Father showed him. When the Father showed him, then he could hear it. Then when he heard Jesus say he was the Messiah, he goes, yeah, amen. Before that, he was going like, yeah, well, you know, a lot of people said that. So you sound like it. You act like it. It's pretty cool. I really like it. But when the Father shows you, you hear it from him. And when you hear it from him, friend, you got it. And when you got it, he can add more and more and more and more and more and more and more to you. But when you think you got it and you don't got it, he's going to take away the things that you think you have. Friend, that's scary to me, all the things that God has changed in my life. And I'm talking about things he's shown me, established me in the Word. Because if you're deep in your tradition, and your tradition may just be, you may worship at the holy shrine of your tradition. And boy, if anybody tries to say anything, you're like, oh yeah, you know. I mean, that's the way I've been. God's saying, if you don't let me change you, if you don't let me wash your heart, and the spirit of revelation starts speaking to you, so that when you hear the word, you hear it what it means. Instead of what you think it means, and you think you have something right, and you kind of find out you lose everything because what you thought you had, you didn't really have it. So be careful how we hear. That's what God's telling me. So be careful how you hear, Randy. I mean, I've talked about this. I've gotten words. I've gotten God is speaking to me about some things from the market realm to different realms, you know, and I think I understand it, you know, and I've talked about this before. How I didn't understand it, and how I missed it, and how I messed it up. And I had to apologize to God for messing up his word. Thank God he's forgiving. Thank God he has some hope that we're going to learn. Nothing wrong with failing and making mistakes. When you hear God speak to you, are you willing to listen to him correct you instead of stubbornly hanging on to it? How do you hear? When something's spoken, how do you hear it? You know, and you guys know this. This is a common basic thing that goes on. You hear so many different teachings on, let's say, the Book of Revelation. You have so many teachings on, you know, salvation. You have so many teachings on healing. You have so many teachings on being filled with the Holy Spirit. You have so many. Everybody hears a little bit of a different thing. You understand what I'm saying? And when you listen to them, you're like, you're going like, man, they're hearing that completely different than I hear it. I mean, I know what being baptized in the Holy Spirit is and speaking in tongues. It's awesome. But they're going like, well, that passed away. Anybody who says they do it now, it's of the devil. You know, that's what they hear. When they hear about being baptized in the Spirit and speaking in tongues, they think, oh, that's of the devil. Well, when I hear it, I'm thinking, man, that's of God. See, so you have all these people who have all these different teachings because they're hearing something different from what, you know, everybody else is hearing. So who's right? How do we know who's right? And it's a really good question to ask, and you should be asking it. But ask it to the Lord. Ask the Lord to show you. But you don't get caught with your armor down, and he comes to you and he says, well, you know, I know you think you have some stuff, but you really didn't have anything. You know why? Because you didn't get it from me. You didn't hear my teaching. You took my teachings and let men teach you and let men show you what's going on, and you believe them because they could wheel and deal and pizzazz and put a scripture here and a scripture there, put a bunch of stuff together and make it look like it's all together, and I get it all right and sit there and say, if I be a man of God, you know, what are you going to do with that? Either run away or you submit to it because they're interpreting things according to man. Me, you, them, whoever they are. I'm not talking about just everybody but me. I'm talking about me. Me too. We need to start being honest. Remember the sower that sowed the seed, the good ground that grew good 100, 130, 1600-fold fruit? Well, yeah, that. You know what that was? That was honest. That was an honest heart. That was honest ground. It said, he who has an honest heart is the one who... So are you really being honest? Are you going to God saying, God, I think I'm right. I think I've been taught this all my life, and I know it's got to be right because I believed it all my life. But well, what do you say about it? And be honest with God about it. Say, God, and I want to know from you. What do you say? I'll be right when they're saying contradictory things. Like, oh, the Baptist, Holy Spirit speaking, that's of the devil. You know, that passed away a long time ago. That was for the church back then. But now we're in a different dispensation. And then you hear other people talk about it, like, you know, and healing and deliverance. Christian can't have a demon, you know. So if you listen to that, if you listen to the wrong thing, and you hear that, and you understand it like they understand it, and it's wrong, what's going to happen to you and me? We're going to end up with nothing. So I'm not saying I'm right, listen to me. Follow me as I follow the Lord, but... Follow me as I follow the Lord, right? But follow those, you know, learn, don't be afraid to ask God, what do you mean when you say that? How I want to hear it correctly, because I know if I don't hear it correctly, I'm going to think I have it right, and then you're going to just like, everything's going to be taken away from me, and I'm going to end up with nothing. And this is exactly what God's doing. He said, but And whoever doesn't have, in other words, who's not getting it right, from him will be taken away even that which he thinks he has. See, so in other words, he doesn't really have anything, but he thinks he has something. No, he knows he's got something. But you know what? He doesn't really have anything. So what I'm saying to y'all is let's go to God and say, I'm a sheep, whether you're a sheep or a shepherd or whatever you are, say, I'm a sheep. We're all sheep one way or the other. And if you're a shepherd, say, I'm a shepherd, God. And I want to know the truth. I want to know what you say. I want to know what's really going on. I want to know, instead of the fear-mongering things that people tell me about, you know, demons and once saved, always saved, and, you know, eternal salvation and all the different things. God, what do you say about it? I want to know what you say. So when one day when you come and whatever happens with my life, I don't get, you know, told, oh, well, you don't really have anything. You just think you had it. So-and-so had it, but you didn't get it because you listened to the wrong people. You heard the wrong thing. You understood it wrong. It can happen to all those friends. That's not just them. It's us. Every one of us. God, what are you saying to me? I know y'all are like me. I'm always going like, God, show me your will. Show me your will. Show me your will isn't always like, go out by this house or that car, or marry this person or that person. It's his teaching. His teachings mean everything. And if we're misunderstanding his teachings, friend, we're going to be misguided. We're going to be opened up to, you know, things of the flesh. We're going to be going the wrong direction. many times people go the wrong direction, find themselves going the wrong direction all the time because about half their doctrine is so messed up that their doctrine leads them to go the wrong direction. Because your belief system is kind of what guides you and leads you. So if your belief system is wrong, it's going to be hard to keep you on track. Oh, thus saith the Lord, go down this street and turn right. Go down two streets and turn left. That's pretty specific direction. You know, and then people just decide, well, you know, I'm not going to really go that way. I know a faster way. Or, you know, I really don't know it. And so if you get told leads you the wrong direction, then you're going to end up in the wrong place. Not just with your doctrine, but with your everyday belief system, with marrying the wrong person, going to the wrong job, you know, because your doctrine helps connect you to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And if the leadership of the Holy Spirit and your doctrines are all messed up, then your leadership in everyday life, who you marry, what house you buy, what car you buy, what business you're in, is going to be messed up too. Because your doctrine, the things that you hear when if you have a doctrine about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of God passed away, every time you see something about it, you go, yeah, that passed away. How do you hear that? I don't know. That's what I was taught. That's how I hear it. When I hear that, I'm going, yeah, that passed away. Where's that about? Well, I'm not really sure exactly. It's over there somewhere. And they'll just swear up and down the truth. And they don't even know where the scriptures are. Yeah? You know what? I just started going to God. I said, God, I don't understand. I don't know. I'd just be real honest with you. You know, I've been taught this stuff. I'm not sure if it's right or not. What do you say? That's what Peter did. Father says he's the Messiah. When he figured he was the Messiah, because God showed him, he didn't have to depend on what man said. You know, when Jesus was what rebuked Peter, remember when Jesus rebuked Peter and said, Satan, get behind me? That he was talking about him not dying. You can't die. Remember that? What did he say? He said, you savor not the things of God, but you savor or you have a taste for the things of man. And friend, if you've got your understanding is from the flavors, and you got a flavor of man, you're gonna listen more to man than you listen to God without even realizing that you're doing it. God's saying, hey, come to me. Repent, let me change your heart. Let me teach you. And if the doctrine you have may be right, let's say, like when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? They say, well, some say this, some say that, but some say you're the Messiah. Well, if somebody else tells you that he's the Messiah and you got it from them, then, yeah, you got it right, but you still ain't got it. You ain't got it. You still ain't got it. Why? Because when Peter got it from God, then Jesus told him he was the Messiah many times. Other people say, yeah, we think he's the Messiah. Well, we think this. They thought all kinds of things. And even some of the things they thought were right. But if people are telling you what's right and you got it right intellectually, but you haven't got it right from God, you still don't got it right, friend. You got a good beginning. But when Jesus said, but who do you say that I am, Peter? I know everybody's telling you I'm the Messiah, but who do you say? Who do you say? And when he heard them say the fathers, that the Father showed him, and he was the Messiah. Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father. You know, flesh and blood can tell you things, and that's the beginning of you getting the truth. But until the Father reveals it to you, friend, you're not hearing it correctly. And even Peter still messed it up, because he misinterpreted that, like many of the Jewish believers, and, you know, believed that Jesus was going to live in a rule of the throne of David forever. Once he came, he would never die. What happened? They heard wrong. What happened because they heard wrong? They were guided wrong in how they thought about Jesus. Even though they were hanging out with the Messiah, they were hanging out with the Lord, because they believed that he was going to not die, but rule on the throne of David forever. How did they interpret every time he said something about, well, I'm going to die? They went, yeah, that ain't right. They don't mean that. Because they couldn't hear it. They couldn't hear the truth. They couldn't hear that he was going to die. Why? Because they already heard something else, and that's what they heard, and that's what they believed. So when Jesus himself told them the truth, they couldn't hear it. And that's what happened. Peter did. Peter rebuked him. Lord, you know, you ain't got that right. You messed up somewhere. Because, you know, we've been told, we know what the Scripture says. Scripture says you're going to rule from the throne of David forever. Well, they had the Scripture right. they didn't understand it correctly. They didn't understand that he was going to die, and then he would rule on the throne of David forever after that. See what I'm saying? They had it right. They had the right scripture, but they didn't understand what it meant. So, therefore, when Jesus died, they all got misguided and ran like little cowards, which I would have done too. They ran like cowards. Why? Because they didn't have it from the Father. They didn't have the truth from the Father that he was going to have to die. If they'd have had it, they would have been running like a little scared kitty cat. They'd have been standing there going, yeah. You know, we knew that. We knew that from God. God showed us that. Well, all those other people believe that Jesus was never going to die, so he can't be the Messiah. You see what I'm saying, friend? But when God shows you something, and you know it from God, then when the end times, a lot of that stuff about the end times, let me tell you something. I'm just going to be really blunt with you. A lot of the things about the end time, people are going to have heart attacks, and they're going to be young people are going to die of heart attacks when they find out that they're not going to be raptured out before the tribulation, before the great tribulation. They're going to freak out. You know why? Because they've heard wrong all these years. And yet they've heard people say, we're going to go through, God's going to take us through it, God's going to provide for us the Holy Spirit, it won't come near our dwelling, we're going to be blessed. Yes, there will be martyrs, there will be some saints that will be overcome, and there's going to be many, many, many saints that will not be overcome. But what they hear, be careful how you hear my teaching. Be careful how you, you hear the warning there, John 8, verse 18, he says, be careful. You can feel what he's saying. Be careful because how you hear, how they heard about Jesus, you know, going to reign forever on the throne of David, and when they watched him die, they kept waiting for him to come off the cross because we know he ain't going to die. He can't die. Like when Trump is going to be president. Oh, we know God. God has told us from the prophet. The prophet says he's gonna have that second term. He's gonna rule for the next 4 years. We know it. And when it wasn't all going right, they were just hanging on. Like, he'll come off that cross. He won't die. He ain't gonna die. He can't die. Trump ain't gonna die. He can't die. Well, as far as being president, he did. They were just hanging on. You know why? Because that's what they heard. That's why he said, be careful what you hear. Is what you hear, what you believe, what you understand, what you think you hear, what you think you know, what they thought they knew about Trump, they found out they didn't know nothing about nothing. Nothing about nothing. That's a lot of nothing. Yes, it is. All right, I'm going to try to move on now. Y'all praying for me, right? Yes, I know you are. You better be, please. Help me move on the move. All right, y'all. Get ready for communion tonight. We're going to take it here just a little bit. Ready for that? About time. Be careful how you hear or understand his teaching. Oh, it's so important. Doctrine is so important. Doctrine. If you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, it ain't going to happen, friend. You know what? When everything starts coming to pass that they say that you're going to be gone for, when the temple starts, you know, and things are happening, they're going like, well, I think we're supposed to be gone by now. I know for sure by now we're supposed to be gone. And they're going to start going, and then because they've been hearing wrong, you know what they're going to do? They're going to do just like Peter, James, and John, and all the rest of them. They're going to run like rats. Scared little rat, scared little kitty cat. I don't know if they say rat. That sounds horrible. They're going to be running. They're going to be hiding. They're going, oh, my God, no, not this. We've been deceived. Exactly. And that's just one thing out of a thousand things. The key to how you hear, that's a big word. For whoever has heard correctly, to him will be given more. Lord, they're going to get a lot of revelation. But whoever doesn't have or doesn't get it right, doesn't hear correctly, from him will be taken away even that which he thinks he has. Wow. Now think about that, y'all. And that's not about just the one doctrine or the other, but it's about anything you believe. Because what you believe, if you're believing wrong, you're hearing wrong. No wonder you find yourself being guided wrong all the time. You find you're always having to correct your course every day, all the time. I don't know why I keep veering off all the time. Yeah, because a lot of your belief systems are wrong. You're being guided by fear, and you don't even know it. Every time you sin, you think you got to get saved again. You know, I've had a lot of friends that believe that. They were taught that when they were kids. They believe that nonsense all their life. They've been saved 5,000 times at least. Why? Because they believe wrong. They're hearing wrong. It's really important. And I'm taking this real serious myself. I'm believing God to show me. I want to know what's going on in the book of Revelation. I want to know. And I don't know that anybody that I know has anything right. You know why I don't know for sure that anything I hear is right? You may hear me go, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. I like the way you said it. That's nice. That's interesting. You know, when you hear me say that's interesting, that's cool, that's nice, you know, you're gonna get to know me pretty well. You're going to find out it's because I don't know. If I know, I'm going to tell you, no, that ain't right. This is it. I'll come right out and tell you. You can still believe it if you want, but I'm going to come right out and tell you. But if I don't know, I'm going to go, that's interesting. Oh, that could be right. Oh, that could be right. Why? Because I don't know yet. But when I know, you're going to hear me say, this is it. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know anybody that has it all right. I don't know if I believe anybody. You know why I can't believe anybody? Because God had to show me that what they're saying is right yet. I have to have God to show me. Just because they put it all together in a nice little package and makes a lot of sense. And I mean, you get people from every direction making a lot of sense out of the Word of God, and they're all going completely different directions. So that ought to tell us something, right? It's not about choosing sides. It's about choosing Jesus. Choosing Jesus. Let's take communion about that tonight. What do you say? I mean, I'm really hungry for that. I'm really hungry for not just being right, but having what I know about Jesus as right. I want to know because your doctrine tells you about him. Like the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation isn't just a bunch of pretty pictures about Jesus. Now, that's pictures of some pretty ugly stuff. But it's all the revelation of Jesus Christ. And yet it's got some pretty nasty stuff in there. Some pretty bad judgments, some plagues and wonder. You think, how can that be the revelation of Jesus? We thought Jesus was nice and sweet and wonderful and good. Well, he is. So revelation about Jesus isn't always just about him personally. It's about what he knows about the future. All right, let's take communion tonight, and I've got mine here. Hopefully you got yours with you. Let's take the scripture, 1 Corinthians 11, as we usually do, in the New King James Version. I'm reading it in the New King James tonight, and get your bread ready and your cup ready if you're ready to eat his body and drink his blood, make covenant with him, renew our covenant. You've got sin in your life, does that mean you can't take communion? No, it does not. I don't care if you sinned 5 minutes ago. If you want to get rid of that sin, then you're good. If you don't want to get rid of it, if you're enjoying it, you like it, you don't want it, then I suggest you not take communion. Unless you tell God, I don't want to get free of that, but I got other things I want to be free of. You'd be totally honest. Honesty is the good ground that grows forth the good fruit. 3,600 folks. Things in your life and you don't want to get free of them, I don't recommend communion for you for that. You got something you sin every day and you're getting tired of it, you're going, God, I need to be free of that. I want to be free of that. Help me be free of that. Deliver me from that. And take communion. All right. Paul the Apostle says, I received it from the Lord. That which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, and we thank you, Jesus, thank you, Father, he broke it and said, take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take from it. Love you, Jesus. Eat your body. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We remember you, Jesus. Thank you. Let's partake, friend. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to Jesus. Lord, we love you, and we lift our hands to worship you, oh my soul. Oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. I go from too low to too high. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, oh Lord, I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee, oh Lord, for thou, O Lord, art high, you're high above all the earth, thou art exalted far above all God, for thou, O Lord, my God, are high above all the other gods. Thou art exalted far above all of them. And I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah, we exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Lamb of God. Cleanse us, wash us. Lord, anything in our heart, anything that we believe, anything that we hear wrong about your teaching, about your word, whether it's a prophetic word, whether it's the word of God, we're hearing it wrong. Joseph heard the word wrong. He misunderstood the word, understood the dream. The dream was a word. The visions he had were words. It was a word. He didn't understand what they meant. And we thank you, Jesus, that we want to understand. Help us know. Help us understand. Help us see. Let us be careful to see and do and believe the right things. If anything in us, God, is not right, any doctrine, deliver me in Jesus' name. Set me free and plant your word within me to save my soul. Jesus, save my soul with the engrafting of your word. James, book of James. With meekness, receive the engrafted word. The saving of your soul, friend. The word of God will save you. If it will change your doctrine, if it will change whatever you believe, if you have the wrong belief about healing, if you have the wrong belief about casting out of devils and healing the sick and raising the dead, if you have the wrong teaching about that, may God help us and teach us and give us his word. We may believe right, and we may hear right, but we can walk in your way. Believing right helps us walk in your ways, because when you believe right, you walk right. You can't believe everything wrong in the Bible and then be doing the will of God in your everyday life. It can't work. It won't happen. It's important here how we hear it, because that's how we walk. What we believe is what we see. What we believe is what we understand. What we believe is what guides us. Even in times we don't even know we're being guided. In Jesus' name, Lord, cleanse us, wash us, renew us, make a new heart, give us a new spirit. In Jesus' name, make us new, God. Make us new. We want to be new, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I hope you're doing good tonight, friend. I hope you're doing okay. I pray for you. I hope you're praying for me. You know, I don't know everything. I don't claim to know everything. When I know something, you know, I get really excited about it, as you know. And, you know, when you get to know things, you get excited about it, right? You do. And you will. And you are. And you have. He's going to correct us. He's going to change us. Like I said earlier, like the Lord is telling us tonight, the doctrines that we believe, the things that we believe them maybe 50% right, 50% wrong. That 50% doctrine belief that we have wrong, it's going to make 50% of our life difficult to walk in the Spirit. Because what is doctrine? It's about Jesus, one way or the other. Doctrine is about Jesus. Like the book of Revelation is about Jesus, but it doesn't just say a bunch of pretty nice things. Doctrine is the same way. It speaks to us of Jesus. And they may say, you know, getting together is important. That's Jesus. He would be saying, meditate on the Word of God. That's Jesus. He would be saying, take care of your wife. That's Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus is the true light. The light we have is darkness. Remember the scripture says, let not the light that is in you be darkness. What do you think that means? The light, the things that we think we have, we think we got right. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about, I told you all the things God's changed in me in the last couple of years. I mean, it was difficult. But you know what? You know what changed it? Is loving Jesus, staying in love with Jesus and letting the spirit of revelation of the Holy Spirit, like what happened to Peter, where the Father's telling you what things mean. Where the Father's telling you who Jesus is and what Jesus is about and what doctrines are about and what and the purpose and the need to have them right. I don't know that we'll ever have them, you know, 100% right. I don't know. I really don't know. But I know they're important because they reveal Christ. Doctrines reveal Christ. Even though it may be about how you run the church, it's still about Christ. It's the order of Christ. Amen? All right. Hope you're hearing that good tonight. I'm hearing. I'm learning. I'm growing. And I need it. Believe me. I need it because I have a responsibility. I teach people the Word of God, and I want to be teaching, you know, what things that will cause them to be led and guided by Him. Things you believe will lead and guide you, whether you know it or not. What you believe about the rapture will lead you and guide you. What you believe about your healing and deliverance will lead you and guide you. Believe it or not, it will. All right. I know y'all believe. I believe. You believe. We all believe. We believe. All right. Great. Anything more we can help you with? Oh. All right. Thank you for being with us tonight. And let's take a look and see what we have going on. Are you ready to pray over offerings tonight? Tonight is offering night. Hope everybody knows that. And, ready to do that. Let me go here. I'm trying to get some prayer requests together. So give me just a moment. And I'll be right there with you, and we will get started with praying over offerings. All right, let me get some prayer requests together here. All right. We are getting ready to pray over the offerings tonight. Thank you for being with us. So thankful for you and thankful for what God is doing. It's really, really cool. A lot going on, a lot of end time stuff happening. All right? Yeah. So, it's all coming together a little bit fast, right? All right, everyone, we're almost ready here. Okay, we are now ready. Thank God. Yep. All right, we got it. All right, thank you, Jesus. People give during the night. We'll try to get that in there and report that and get that going on. All right, tonight we're going to start praying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Andrea, $5. Thank you, Andrea. Jesus' name. I bet you're getting all excited about Russia, right? Kind of scary at the same time. Kind of interesting what's going on. And, Lord, I think we're just giving her wisdom, giving her knowledge, giving her insight to what's going on. So she can pray, powerfully, pray correctly, can pray the will of God. And pray protection for God's people all over the world from, Putin kind of people. We thank you, Jesus, for that, that even though God allows things to happen, it seems so cool. For me, it's horrible to say that God allows it, right? But he's getting ready for, he's getting Europe positioned to join together because they think that they are next. Some of them that are next are going to be next. And so it's causing Europe to join together and unify together. Start working out details on how to do that. It's going to take some time, but it's going to happen. And so we pray for them. Amen. Cheryl, $7. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. And God, we just bless her. God, we thank you for comforting her heart. God, giving her strength to be able to understand the ways of God. Sometimes we just pray and pray and pray. We don't really do anything. Sometimes we need to pray and obey, pray and obey, pray and obey, praying and obeying. It's really a really powerful thing to pray and obey. And so when you start understanding that prayer alone does not do it, faith alone does not do it. So we think that faith alone, we got faith in something, but sometimes God says, if we're looking for a job, then we have to go out and look for a job, right? We don't just pray about a job and get some ideas about what we're going to do. We go out and we start. Well, I have to be guided exactly which way to go. That's the way I used to do this. I used to know exactly which job to go through, the first one, because if I'm being led by God, it's going to be the first one, or that, or I'm not hearing from God. And I started realizing that that's not the ways of God. Sometimes the ways of God is, sometimes God, that can happen for sure, but sometimes the ways of God is, we get out and we start, beating the bushes, by faith and looking around. We may get a lot of wrong places, but because we're stepping out, we're putting our faith into action, we're going to find results. Amen. God's really going to show you how to walk in that. Most Christians believe that they're not really putting it together, but they got lots of faith, but there's very little works to go on with it as far as the action of going out. And if we're not doing what we do by faith, then it takes us in circles for sure. We have to do what we do, when we do something by faith. And faith is God showing us he has something for us. And we say, okay, God, you got something for me. I don't know where that's at. Help me get out there and go at it. Show me which way to go. Lead me and guide me. say. Sound is having some feedback. All right. I don't know what's going on with that, but okay, thank you for that. I don't know. My sound, the sound still sound bad. You know, better. Let me know. We like our sound people for sure. All right, Shalonda, $10. Thank you, Shalonda. Hang on, I got something going on here. Hang on a minute. All right. Okay, Shalonda, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Shalonda. I don't know how much your offering was, Sarah. You're telling me, you know, you gave it. It hasn't showed up yet, so just like, I don't know where you're, sometimes they take time. Yeah, that's why you didn't hear it, because I haven't got it yet, so I don't know how much it was. Yeah, so $5, so I would already pray for that. Good job. That's why you were asking. Just thinking. All right. Okay. All right, I'm going to go back to Sarah. Sarah, $5. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Jesus, for giving her confidence to step out of the boat, God, and to, you know, sometimes you have to step out of the boat. Sometimes you have to, you know, you like I say, Peter had faith, but when he saw Jesus walking on the water, he said, you know, if that's you, Lord, so he was asking him, is that you? And Lord goes, yeah. So he stepped out of the boat. So I thank you, Lord, for giving Sarah the strength to ask you, is that you? When you say that's you, that she will step out of the boat, failure, or the fear of, you know, maybe everything not going perfect, or the fear of the past, because something went wrong in the past before, you know, different things were wrong. So God's really helping you deal with the fear of the past. You know, we all deal with the fear of the past. Every time something comes up that really, really messes with me, I find out there's a fear of the past thing connected to it. The Lord says, Randy, take care of that. I need you to, you know, walk through and think about that and meditate on, you know what my answer is to that and why that happened to you. And so I grow from it, right? But most of the time, the fears that I have, the issues that I have are from things that have happened in the past. And that is with everyone. We have memories. And our memories, when we start confronting something and say, well, I'm going to try this again. I'm going to step out again. You see your memories go, well, I remember last time you did that. You failed. Or you messed up, or you didn't know where you were going, or you get lost. Yeah. That's why our past has to be our past and has to be forgotten, right? Now, we don't forget. We forget the pain of it. We forget the failure of it, but we don't forget it, right? So because we learn from it. We don't forget it altogether because we learn from it. If you're just forgetting everything, you're not learning from anything. Right, so we forget about, we get delivered the fear of and the sting of the pain that came with it. Lord, I thank you for giving her courage and strength, letting her faith come alive, Father. In the name of Jesus, step out of the boat and go for it, God. Amen and amen. Step out of the boat and go for it. John 10:10. Jesus said, I came to give you life and give you life abundantly, abundant life, Sarah. All right, Cheryl, $7. Thank you, Cheryl. But seven, we thank you, Jesus. We just ask you to bless her, God, to give her confidence to step into the things that plagued her before, to step into the things. You know, like when Israel had to step into the land and deal with giants. They never dealt with giants. Well, you don't have a chance against giants. Believe me, I've seen giants, and you know, in the spirit. I've seen them in dreams. And you don't play with play with a giant, he'll smash you like a bug, right? You got to know God's with you. So I think you're a little forgiven, Cheryl, the confidence to fight the giants in her life. Because a lot of times the giants possess the things that belong to us, right? In the land of Israel, the giants possess the land. And these guys, I mean, they were huge. You didn't have a chance fighting them by yourself. I don't know how they won those battles. I would love to see a film of it. I would love to see a video of how they did that. I don't know how they did it, but it was a miracle because God was with them. So that Cheryl in the courage got to realize that yes, her giants are bigger than her. They always are bigger than us, but they possess the things that belong to us. We'll give her the courage to step out and do war with them as Christ guides her in Jesus' name. Guide her, God. Give her wisdom. Shalonda, $10. Thank you, Shalonda. Thank you, Lord, for letting the past be the past. Amen. God's going to show you how to lift it. When God cleanses us of the past, it doesn't mean that we forget, you know, that we did the wrong thing, but the fear of failure gets washed away. So you can look back at something and go, okay, I can learn from that, right? So I see God really showing you how to, you know, forget, Paul the Apostle says, forget those things that are past. I mean, he didn't say don't learn from them. He said just forget. So God has to sometimes, for new things to come about, behold, all things become new. It says the old things pass away. Passing away means the fear of them, the cringing, you know, dread of, you know, thinking about going to do the thing is washed away. Amen. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for washing away and letting the old things be pass away, and behold, the beginning of new things for Shalonda, the beginning of a whole new season for her father. In Jesus' name, in her thinking, in her understanding of who you are, in Jesus' name, amen. Like a refreshing of understanding that who you are and who Christ is in you, and how that he's dealt with some things that maybe you're not even aware of yet. Hallelujah. All right, Donna, $10. Donna from Florida. Thank you, Donna. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father, for letting her possess the land that belongs to her. I just see you possessing land, possessing things, not just land like dirt and buildings, but the things that belong to you, the surroundings that are yours, the atmosphere that's yours, the you know, the appointments that belong to you. So I thank you, Jesus, for the restoration of the things, the cankerworm is eating, the palmer worm. In the scripture we'll talk about in Joel 2. The things that the cankerworm and the palmerworm have eaten, God, I thank you for restoring that. Let your mind begin to dwell on and meditate on, Donna, restoration from God. Not just restoration, people being nice and think, not nice thing for people, but the restoration that God has involved. When God restores something, ain't no devil and nobody can stop it. But the devil needs you to stand in strong and believe it and not let go. Right? Don't let go of it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. All right. We got Patricia. Thank you, Patricia and Corey. Thank you, Lord, for their finances, God. I thank you for the spirit of deliverance upon them, God, the spirit of deliverance in their life, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of deliverance, God, that you, sometimes God just delivers us. Sometimes we just need to be delivered, have the spirit of deliverance in our life. And I thank you, Lord, that as you begin to deliver and to open up in Jesus' name, that the spirit of deliverance will begin to work In your behalf. Hallelujah. In your behalf. All right. So you have financial issues tonight, like a financial curse, you believe. So there you go. Okay, there you go. That's the deliverance thing. And also my sister-in-law, inheritance from me and my mother, who might take care of. Parents left two houses. Brothers at the time died. So, wow. Uncle, look, crooked things for long. So So you're dealing with attorney, yeah. So that's a difficult thing. Inheritances are just like outright. It's just, woo! I can see why the Lord says the spirit of deliverance. Amen? Yeah, the spirit of deliverance. Lord, I just speak over the whole thing. It's like a spirit of deliverance. Sometimes God just has to deliver you from the devil, deliver you from the deceptions of men and the lie and the spirit of theft. Spirit of theft. Theft can be in a lot of different ways. So I thank you, Jesus, for the spirit. We rebuke the spirit of theft. And that you begin to uncover all things, God, right in front of them. Begin to uncover the truth right in front of them. Expose them right in front of them, people that they need to be exposed in front of. In the name of Jesus, let it be done, God, right now. The spirit of deliverance, a mighty, mighty deliverance. In Jesus' name, devil, I bind you and I cast you down. And I speak the spirit of deliverance over you. You would cast out devils and heal the sick in Jesus' name. And we also deal with demonic influences in Jesus' name against people. Hallelujah. All right. So we take authority of it and we just bind that up in Jesus' name. We cast that down in the name of Jesus. All right, John and Melissa, $10. Thank you, John and Melissa. Pray for us, as well as my mom, Carol, who has a follow-up doctor's appointment tomorrow in the morning. Yes, we thank you, Lord, for John, God, and Melissa. We thank you, Lord, for John, Father. God, just give John the strength to be the man who lays down his life and for the Lord. We got to remember we're laying our life down for the Lord, not just for our wives and for our families, for our things, but it's for the Lord. It's because when we do things God's way, then God gives us the breakthrough. Right, we do things our way. We may have a really good way, but when we do things God's way, lay our life down, and we think, well, what's laying our life down going to be? Well, it's going to bring you the breakthrough because you're doing what Christ would do. And Christ always won the victory. And we thank you for that victory in Jesus' name. For Melissa, God, we thank you for Melissa for being able to receive the compassion that she needs, to receive the strength that she needs, to receive the encouragement that she needs, to receive the words, even though sometimes they may seem contrary to what you feel, I think. A lot of times the Word of God is contrary to what we feel. It is with me, at least, many times. Many times God's Word was contrary to how I felt. I mean, totally contrary to how I felt. And he was testing me to see if I would go by my feelings or go by what. So when I yielded to him, finally, it took a time. It took a bit of time. But when I finally did, the spirit of deliverance just came upon me. And God delivered me and set me free. Yeah, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord, for that, and giving her strength to receive wisdom from the Father. And we pray for Carol, John's mom, for follow-up surgery in the morning. We just thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you, Lord, for letting her accept you and your work, that Carol will accept your work in a way that she never has before, the work of Jesus in a way that she never has before, in the name of the Lord. Let that be done right now by the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus' name, speak forth. We decree and declare forth strength in her body, strength in her mind, that she will have strength in her mind. Hallelujah. Overcome. Be strong. Amen. And amen. 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 All right. Rhonda, $20. Rhonda and Juan. In Jesus' name, we thank you for Wanda and Rhonda and Juan. I was going to say Wanda and Ron, but I mean, I don't know what the deal with that is. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you for that $20. Thank you for that. We pray for Alyssa tonight, God, that she has a major test coming up here, and we just thank you, Jesus, that you strengthen her effort to relax, that once you study and you get it in you, the biggest thing you can do is learn to relax and let the information float up. Let the information float up. But my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Thank you, Lord, that the yoke will be easy and the burden will be light. Amen, in Jesus' name. Bless you, Jesus. Help her, Lord. All right, so Rhonda, we pray for Rhonda tonight. We thank you, Lord, for her. For faith. I see your faith level coming to. It's like you start going, man. When I walk in real faith, real things happen. When I'm walking in, you know, faith. You know, the Bible says, "Be sober minded in your faith." Don't try to say you have more faith than you have. Sometimes, you know, many times in my life, I've went on about like I had faith for really big things, you know, years ago. And little did I realize that because I was looking for the big thing instead of appreciating the little things God did for me, So I had to reevaluate my faith and find out where my faith was really at. When I found out, I was able to appreciate the little things that ended up leading to the big things. And so I thank you, Lord, that Rhonda's faith is becoming stronger. She knows that when she walks in real faith, that real faith delivers, that real faith works, that real faith that. But when we walk in our own, faith comes by hearing. It depends on what. Remember, Jesus. Tonight we talked about in Luke 8 about what we hear and how we hear. And I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us how to hear. You're teaching Rhonda how to hear. My sheep know my voice. My sheep hear my voice. They know what I'm saying. And I think that Rhonda is your sheep, God. She knows the shepherd and the shepherd's voice in Jesus' name. She obeys the voice of the Lord in the name of the Lord. I thank you for Juan, God, tonight. Give Juan courage and strength to stand up and believe and know the things that he knows that are right, and give him revelation on the things that he doesn't know yet. Sometimes we just need revelation. Give Juan revelation, God. Juan, revelation is what gives you courage. It's what gives you backbone. Every time I fail, it's because I don't have backbone. I've failed many times on a lot of things. And God says, because you don't have backbone. Backbone comes from the word of the Lord, from the word of God, the revealed word. All right, Angela Lanham, $20.22. Amen. 2022, she's getting cool. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Angela Lanham. 2022, thank you, Jesus, God, that 2022 will be the year for her, God, to break through in areas where she's been reaching forward and seemed to come up short. God, that she will reach forth and the arm of the Lord will not be shortened. The arm of the Lord will not be shortened, but will be able to reach and take possession of wherever two or more agree as touching a matter, and they'll get to be able to touch it. That her arm will not be shortened, but it will be long enough to reach out and touch those things that she's been believing God for in Jesus' name. Amen. He fulfill her. You know, people don't fulfill us, but when God has somebody in our life, it fulfills us because it's God. And I thank you, Lord, for that fulfillment in Jesus' name, that blessing. Amen. All right, Marie from Virginia. Thank you, Marie. I was just thinking about you, Marie, a couple of days ago, maybe even today, thinking about the thing with your hair and that kind of thing with your hair, that stuff, the word we gave one night about your hair, something about your hair. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I thank you, Jesus, for Marie. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of freedom, God. I thank you for doing a cleansing, washing work in her genetic code, and in Jesus' name, it caused those cells to reproduce hair, caused those cells to reproduce, the real thing. Let it come back. Let there be a restoration from the things that have been eaten up and devoured in Jesus' name. All the things that have been eaten up and devoured in her life, God. Time and people and situations and money even. And business, all of you. Thank you, Jesus, for the spirit of restoration upon Marie right now in Jesus' name. Come forth, restoration. Be restored in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Be restored and be renewed in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God Almighty. Wow. Amen. All right, Sally from UK, London. Every time I think of, some people call it Britain, but I call it, I'm used to calling it UK, London. So that's what I said. And this is one of the reasons I call it UK Lennon. And I think about Sally. $13 and $18. 18, she gave 18, I think 13 or 18 last week. And 18 last week, 13 this week. And I missed it somehow. I got it messed up. So sorry about that, Sally. And I just went over my notes and I was like, oh my gosh, where'd Sally's stuff go? Yeah, I somehow misplaced it. So thank you, Jesus, that Sally's life is not misplaced. God has not forgotten about that. I hear the Lord saying, that I've not forgotten you. Sometimes we think we're forgotten, or that our life is forgotten, or our victory is forgotten. Sometimes, that's why Jesus says, when we take communion, we do it in remembrance of him. Why? Why do we do things in remembrance of him? Because doing things in remembrance of him renews our memory, to where our memory will begin to not be afraid to expect things to happen. Right. That's why the memories of Christ taking communion and do this in memory. Remember me when you remember him. When the Holy Spirit remember thing happens. When that kind of thing happens in the Spirit, it brings back understanding and thoughts, like memories of you actually seeing Christ die on the cross, and then seeing the Holy Spirit fall you know, like you don't really, you never really seen it because you weren't there, but the Spirit of God was there, and the Spirit of God can bring those things to you in a way where it becomes real to you. So the power of God becomes real to you like never before, where prosperity becomes real to you like never before in the name of Jesus. Let her memories, God, know that she has not, that she's not been forgotten in Jesus' name, but she is remembered. When you remember him, Sally, he remembers you. Remember me, he says. When we remember him and what he's done, it's like this thing, this memory activates inside of us. And it's like we actually were there when the victory was won. We were actually there when the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out. Let it be released in her mind, God. Show her how to accept that and walk in that in Jesus' name. Amen. To restore her mind to the fullness of God's love, to the fullness of God, because it's about love, Sally. It's really about love. God is restoring love to you because love, I know when we talked about this, I don't know if you ever listened to the show one night when I talked about the woman who brought the alabaster box and broke the seal and she was weeping over Jesus and anointing his hair and his feet and that kind of thing. And I said that what the Lord showed me was that the reason that she was anointing him was for his burial. Even though she did not really believe or think that he was going to be dying, be buried, something in her love for Jesus picked up on the fact that in that very moment, what was going on behind closed doors was that the Sanhedrin had gotten together. They were having a quiet meeting on how to kill Jesus. And she was picking that up because her love for Jesus picked it up, in this, even though in her mind she didn't understand it. And she goes to Jesus weeping over him, not even knowing why she's breaking this expensive ring and anointing him like he's going to die. And yet she's like didn't understand he was going to die, but he knew what she was doing because he knew what was going on. She only picked it up, and the reason she picked it up is because she had love for Jesus. Love is everything. Love helps you pick up the things that you need to know. Amen. You can pick things up in the Spirit just by simple love of Jesus, and I see God restoring love in your life. Amen. Jeannie, $25. Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. God, I thank you, Lord, for her financials, God, to become secure in the fact that they're that she will have confidence in the provision of the Lord, not just provision for, you know, some things, but provision for everything. The provision, you know, money takes care of a lot of things, right? If we need food or somebody else needs food, we can buy food for them, right? If we need materials to build a house, we've got money, we buy materials, we can build a house, right? So, you know, money answers all things in the natural realm. Yeah. As far as provision goes, die in the hospital, but you got money to pay your bills. So money, you know, money answers all things. Doesn't mean that it can resurrect you or save you, but it can pay for your casket. It can pay for your whatever. You know, it can pay. It pays for things. So when provision comes, it takes care of everything. And I see this security realm coming to you, where you're going to be so secure in that, the money that you need is going to take care of everything. It's going to answer everything. And God's going to give you that revelation that it answers everything. And what that answering everything really means. Like I said, it can't. Some of the richest people have died of cancer. You know what? We've had people who. Money can't be the answer for that. But at least his bills got paid, right? So when you see that money answers all things, that it takes care of your life, it takes care of your stuff, it takes care of, you know, everything you got going on, your house and everything you need. That spirit of provision answereth all things. The scripture says, you might find it. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, I'll tell you. Here we go. All right, Ecclesiastes 10. A feast is prepared for laughter. Wine makes life merry, and money is the answer for everything. You know, everything in the natural. In other words, takes care of things in the natural, whatever that is. Right. So we thank you, Jesus, for that. We thank you for opening that up for her in Jesus' name, and let her security be in the fact that God is our provision. He is our provider. Because he's our provider, we have provision for everything. And specifically in the money realm, important to know that that revelation is very important. So God's going to give that to you. Amen. Tanisha, $26. Thank you, Tanisha. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for a financial blessing on you. I thank God for a activation of your faith in the very thing we're talking about tonight, provision. The very thing we're talking about tonight of wealth and blessing and making you feel like you're a queen before you are, so to speak. Making you feel like you're, you know, you have wealth even though it's not in your hand yet. God letting you feel that and sense that and know that it's yours by the Holy Spirit, you know, and it's gained by the power of God. It's going to be gained by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, let that be done, God. Let that revelation rise up within her, God. Hallelujah. The wealth of the Spirit. Yes, and even financial wealth in the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's two words right together almost. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, open that up to her, God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. And restore everything that's been her family has lost. Great generation after generation after generation, the things that have been lost, stolen, robbed. Let Tanisha be the one who is the one you've chosen to gather it all in, amen, and get it into the family. Make it part of the inheritance, the blessing of wealth in Jesus' name. Amen, for many generations. All right, Sandra, $70. Thank you, Sandra, for that. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for Sandra. We thank you, Lord, for the heart you've given her, Father, to get the ability to increase and multiply. God, I thank you for that. I thank you that when God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, of course, he's talking about having children, too. We're not talking about that, of course, so much. But the ability to understand seed time and harvest and what that really means. Seed time and harvest. Like seed time, a man plants a seed in a woman. Seed time and some time, 9 months later, you got some harvest, right? So the same thing with everything. And God's really going to open you up to seed time and harvest, what it really means. What God really says it is, to understand the process of how God does it. But there has to be a seed planted. You know, like a man plants a seed. If that seed's not planted in a woman, one way or the other, you know, she's not going to have a harvest, right? The seed has to be planted. It has to be the seed, you know, planted correctly and right and all that. So I thank you, Jesus, for opening up this time and season, showing her the times and seasons of planting seed. And harvest, time and harvest. You hear people, the prosperity people talk about that a lot, but I'm talking about it like they talk about it. I'm talking about it like the truth and reality of it, the way God thinks, the way God does things. Like he told Abraham, 25 years, he didn't have a child. It seemed impossible that he would have children and it's the sands of the seashore and the stars of the sky. How's that going to be? Well, I don't even have a child. And literally realize that when it came time, that seed time and harvest, there's going to be a lot of seed planting, a lot of multiplication, and it's going to be a lot of multiplication everywhere, seed time and harvest. And all of a sudden, it's like, boom, he got kids and grandkids everywhere, all over, in Jesus' name. The wealth of seed time and harvest, God, and you're going to show her that, give her that revelation in Jesus' name, and let her see that. Amen. All right, Daniel, $100. Thank you, Daniel. Daniel and... And Daniel, we thank you, Jesus, for Daniel. Father, I thank you for God's turning on the lights. God is turning the lights on. And I see God giving you some understanding on how to deal with things, how to deal with things, in a biblical way. And God's showing you how to handle things according to the Word of God. Because when we handle half our things by the Word of God and the other half not, the other half that we don't, it's going to fall apart eventually, right? But the other half that we do is going to be good. So God's teaching you how to put 100%. Do everything according to the Word of God, 100%. Right? Because the harvest that you have from doing it God's way produces security. It produces, you know, wealth of things being done right and being kept and being protected and being watched over. When we lay up treasures not on earth, right, but in heaven, that means is that, you know, when we do things under the Lord and do things God's way, then the things we have come from God, and when they come from God, they can't be stolen or robbed or decay. Why? Because God brings them. So I thank you, Jesus, for 100-fold blessing, the 100-fold blessing of my brother in Jesus' name. Open him up to that God in the name of the Lord. Open him up to the 100-fold blessing, God. What you say about it, what it means. That means we do everything we do it unto the Lord. Everything, 100%. Not 50%, not 60%, but 100%. Hallelujah. Then nothing can come back to bite us. Jesus said, Satan has nothing in me, Daniel, nothing in me. Because of that, he could not take anything from him. He could not take anything from him. And then he did every, he only did what he saw the Father do, and that meant 100% of what he did was kept and protected. And the enemy was not able to steal and break through and take from Jesus. Not one thing. So thank you, Lord, for that 100% obedience to the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Chris from Texas, $100. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Jesus, for the favor of God to know about timing, feeling timing, sensing timing. You know, sometimes you just have to, you make a decision about something, you know, like go, I don't know if it's the right timing or not, but it's going to end up being the right timing. That's going to show you that sometimes timing has to do with just simply walking with God, not always knowing every little thing that's going on. Oh, do I do it not now or not tomorrow? Sometimes it's about, you get a sense in your spirit, you know, okay, I better do this now. You know, and then you take authority over anxiety, stress, and it still says do it now. Take authority over getting in a hurry, being pushed, and you still get the same thing. Let's do it now. So, you know, God's showing you how to test and work and make sure. So in Jesus' name, about timing. Timing is going to be is everything. When you're walking in, when you're just loving Jesus and walking, it's not about knowing, having an anointing for knowing timing about everything. No, when you're walking in love with Jesus, when you're just loving Jesus and walking with him, you just happen to be at the right place at the right time. You don't even know how it happened. Right? It's not like we always know everything. We just follow him because we love him. And when we do, you be in the right place at the right time. Yeah, timing is huge. Chris, in Jesus' name. All right. All right, Andrika, $100. Thank you. $50 for ESW Auto Sales. Lord, we thank you for blessing that, multiplying that, increasing that. God, let it be as though the money and the cars are like people, and they start getting together and having children. Start having children and grandchildren in Jesus' name. And I take authority over that grieving of whoever's grieving in the spirit. And I feel the pain of that right now. I feel the pain of grief right now coming upon me. I don't know who this is for. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I ask you to help whatever that's going on to settle this in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus over you, the blood of Christ over you, that oppression in Jesus' name, whoever this is. I don't mean to have anything to do with Andrika or Chris. I don't know who it has to do with. But in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that I rebuke you, Satan, that pressure, that undue, unneeded pressure in the name of Jesus, and I release you into the perfect will of God. You're healthy and whole and blessed. You're covered in the blood, washed in the blood, cleansed by the blood, and Satan had nothing in you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so let's go with Andrika. And thank you, Lord, for Andrika, for that ESW Auto Sales. Well, we thank you for let it be as though their money, you know, like money being like people get together and they get, oh, I like you. $100 bills like the $100 bills. Start having kids. And $100 bills have kids, they have $100 bill kits. So it's like when cars get together and make cars, they bring forth more cars. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. In Jesus' name, open that up. I don't know what that's about, but be fruitful and multiply, something like that. Hallelujah, whatever that is. In Jesus' name, let it be done. All right, Tyreek, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Tyreek. Andrika's child, and we thank you, Lord, for Tyreek. God, just settle his spirit down. Let him just settle down, kind of settle in. Relax and listen. It's not about how hard you work, but it's how smart you work. Give him the wisdom, God, how to work smart. Amen. Torrey, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Torrey. Thank you, Jesus, that Torrey will, you know, walk in the wisdom of God. You're going to give him wisdom on how to walk. Walking with God is doing things like Jesus said every day. He said, I do what I see my Father do. That Torrey will be able to see and know the right things to do and do them. will give them the courage to do them, even when they're going to be against what friends say or what people say to do. He's going to do the right thing in Jesus' name, the right thing. Amen. Drawn by the Spirit to do the right thing. Strengthened by the Spirit. Courageous by the Spirit to do the right thing. Amen. All right, Chris, $15. Thank you, Chris. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for Chris, God. I thank you for the harvest in his life. God, give it, make him harvest-minded. Cause him to be harvest-minded. When we start expecting harvest, you know, we start seeing harvest. We start recognizing, oh, that's harvest. Oh, that's harvest. Oh, that's harvest. We start seeing things as harvest that are harvest. And then we start realizing, okay, wow, I didn't know we were harvesting so much. Until you start seeing all what God calls a harvest, right? And you start seeing that, then you go, well, it's encouraging because you start seeing, okay, that really is harvest from what we did. So God is blessing us. Amen. Open up him up to the harvest to be able to have ears to hear and eyes to see the harvest when it's there, however little, however big it is. Amen. And drink it, $15. Thank you, Jesus, for that, the spirit of encouragement, the spirit of Joshua, Father, to meditate on the word, that thing to meditate on the word and to be successful. That thing about meditation, like he told Joshua to meditate on the word day and night. We can't stay up all night and meditate. You got to sleep, right? But that thing, when your heart is longing, when your heart is seeking, when your heart is loving, when your heart is knowing, when your heart is like, God, you know, if you don't bless me, I'm not going to be blessed. I don't want to be blessed by anybody else. I don't want anything from anybody else. I want it only from you and you only. In Jesus' name. And so that heart God's given you, Enrique, will make you successful because that's that meditation thing. The meditation thing is more about, you know, God, if you don't bless me, I'm not going to be blessed. I'm not going to let anybody else make me rich. You're going to make me rich. You're going to bless me. You're going to make me whole. Only you, Jesus. Nobody else. Amen. Yeah, and it's the same thing as, you know, when Abraham said when he was going to receive the booty from a war he'd fought, the others did that, you know, but nah. Nobody's going to say, you know, you made me rich. No, I'm not going to let anybody say anybody made me rich but God. Anybody blessed me but God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Noel, $100. Thank you, Lord, for that $100. We thank you, Jesus, for that harvest, that covenant harvest mentality, God, that when we have a covenant with and we do what God tells us to do, that God, you know, this doesn't sound weird, but God has to do what he says he's going to do. He has to. That's what God's going to show. He's really going to open you up to. When you do, God tells you to do something, and you feel like you're doing the best you can, and then God's got to do what he says. That's what covenant is. That's what the harvest of a covenant is that, you know, we pray and obey, and God, you know, follows up. Because that's what he does. God is not a liar. And I see God really showing you that God is not a liar. I know you already know that. I know that too. But you know what? Sometimes we're not calling him a liar, but someone's thinking like, I don't know. Isn't my God lying about that? We know God's not lying about it, but it's like we go, you know, do we really believe God? What's going on? So, yeah. So God really showing us that he's not a liar. He's not a man that he could lie. And so thank you, Jesus, for when Noel does what she's called to do, Father, that you have to do it because you're not a liar. Because you're not a liar. If you were a liar, you wouldn't have to. But because you're not a liar, you have to do what you say you do. You have to. It's like we don't command and demand it of God. But when we do what we're called to do, we got covenant, out of covenant, relationship with God, then he has to do it. And God's really going to open you up to that in a really powerful way and strengthen you. And no man can stop that. No man, no woman, no nobody. All right. Drink your water, y'all. Drink your water. Don't just drink coffee. Drink your water. Don't just drink juice and Gatorade. Drink your water. Stay hydrated. Please. The wonders. All right, Carmen, got your check in this weekend. Thank you. This week, $120.27. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for Carmen. God, we thank you, Lord, for the heart of a successor. That she is the successor of many things. God, you called her to be the successor. I don't know what that means, but the successor. Let me look at what that means exactly. I'm sure I know how to spell it. Yeah, I think I did it right. Seeds and other. Oh. What does it mean? I Google it. You know I Google it stuff, right? What does it mean to be someone's successor? Person succeeds to a throne, a title, a property, or office. Successor. Yeah, I don't have a clue what that has to do with, but there it is. What does it mean to be someone's successor? Someone's successor is a person who takes their job after they left. I'm just reading these things. This is an example of a successor. In mathematics, a successor is a number that comes after the given numbers. The predecessor is a number that comes before the given number. For example, successor of 10 is 11. Or the predecessor is a 10. Is 10 of 10 is 9. Okay. That's pretty simple. Okay, so there you go. I'm not even sure where we're going with all that, but I just go and I give it and put it out there, and then God will show you. All right. All right. What does inheritor mean? Heir. Inherit. I don't know. There you go. I'm not sure what that has to do with it. Maybe you know. All right. You're listening. Amen. All right. Carmen, thank you. There you go. Successor. That's all I got. So, wow. Interesting. All right, Donald and Tanya, $165. Thank you for that, $165. Thank you, Donald and Tanya. Thank you, Lord, for that seed time and harvest, God. You planted the seed in them years ago, and they thank you for leading them, guiding them, letting them be flexible as to what their passions are, what their desires are. May their real desires come to the surface during this time of, you know, out of the ordinary situation, being out of the ordinary, you know, have the ordinary thing going on. You got some that all the things that rise within them, God, in Jesus' name, will begin to, you know, show them. You know, sometimes when you get the pressure on you to do something, things come up that you just kind of thought, oh yeah, you know, I thought we were going to do this. Let's do this. This is really what we want. This is really what we're going to. This is really what we want to do. And I thank you, Lord, for giving them the desires of their heart, God, in Jesus' name. Sometimes we think we know what our desires are, and then through the pressure, through the circumstances, the pressure reveals a different set of desires, right? So, and it may have the same general idea about it, but thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for opening it up for them in Jesus' name. And let those desires be watered, nurtured in this season. Amen. May they fertilize it, all that. Amen. Hallelujah. Good. All right. Interesting word. All right, Deborah and Mark, $175. Thank you, Deborah and Mark from Washington. And thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the power to investigate and invest in things and investigate things. Now, the power of an investment. Look into the investment of your life. Look into the investment of your friendships, of your marriage, of your, you know, future, the investments. What investments have you made? And look to it as an investment. Amen. And do we sell our investments now, or do we hang on to them? You know, is it time to hang on? Is it time to looking at your life and what you're going through as an investment? What investments have been made? In the name of Jesus, open their eyes up, God, to that in the realm of investment. Yes, even financial investments, but in Jesus' name, the investments of their life and what they've been doing, what they've been called to do. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. And you're gonna reap the harvest of that investment. I'm not sure what investment in specific is talking about it, but becoming investment minded. In other words, seeing things in your life, especially when you've been at things for years, as an investment, and the harvest of that investment, needs to be considered in everything. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name, our investment. Wow. That's a unique words tonight. I think I would never thought about. Really, really cool. And just bless them, God, increase them, multiply them, give them wisdom. May the spirit of counsel be upon them. May the spirit of freedom be upon them, God, in Jesus' name, to bless and love and forgive and increase in the knowledge and the love of God. If the love of God, looks at things completely different, man. Yeah. Jesus was making an investment. That's why I said he laid down his life. How it's more precious than gold and silver, because it was an investment. It was amazing. A big, huge investment. The devil tried to ruin that investment. God had to save him. His resurrection sealed it forever. Amen. That investment was never lost. Amen. All right, Terrence, $222. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence. God, thank you, Lord, for the keeper of the sheep, for the keeper of the flock, the keeper, the person in him that's a keeper. Keeper of the flock, how to keep the flock together, how to keep the sheep together, how to keep the family together, how to keep things together. No matter how messed up things can be, how to keep them together. We're going to work this out. This is all going to happen. We're going to be able to work. So the ability to be a keeper of the sheep, keeper of the family, a keeper of, keeper, a person who watches over. Yeah, we got this issue and that issue and that. It should tear us apart. But you know what? We're going to find a way to keep it together and work it out. In Jesus' name, the keeper of the sheep. Hallelujah. Instead of letting the enemy come in and take out the shepherd, right, and scatter the sheep. Yeah, we thank you, Jesus, for the keeper of the sheep, watching over the shepherd, Father. In Jesus' name, you showed Terrence that part of the shepherd's heart you've given him. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, how powerful it is. Amen. How it keeps things. The keeper. The keeper. In Jesus' name. All right. Nicole, 377.77 and then 165.94. Thank you, Nicole. In Jesus' name. Thanks. I'm really excited about the we got somebody on the PGN talking about the Book of Revelation. I mean, I talked about it a lot. I'm excited about that because, it's just part of the network, part of what God's doing. The treasures of that whole thing, the treasures of all that. I don't know what all it's going to open. I don't have a clue. I mean, I don't even know whether I believe everything that we're saying or talking about is all perfect or not. Cause I don't know, until we're talking about tonight that, when the Holy Spirit shows us, then we know. If the Holy Spirit doesn't show me, then I don't know. I want to believe it. I like it. It's good. Let's work on this. Let's learn how to, But when the Holy Spirit reveals things, then that becomes something that we know. But the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. I'm just, it's not just the opinion of people. Jesus said to Peter, who do men, they were asking, who do men say that I am? And they would say, well, some this, some that. And he said, but who do you say that I am? So it was extremely important that, yes, men are going to say a lot of different things. But what is God saying? So I thank you, Lord, for showing Nicole what you're saying, God. Father, I thank you for Nicole getting that revelation of what you're saying, your word. Just getting it from people, though, getting things from people is awesome. A lot of people that told people that Jesus was the Messiah were right about that. But did they get that from God, or they just kind of figured out that plus that equals this? But when you get it from God, like Peter did, it no longer matters what everybody said. Yeah, they said he's the Messiah. 50% of them did, let's say. So, they had that right, but did they get it from God? When Peter got it from God, that's what made him a great leader. Amen. Because he got it from God. Thank you, Jesus, for opening her up to got it from God. Got it from God. Getting it from God. Yeah, we hear what men say. We need to hear what men say. We need to hear what preachers and teachers say. It's important. And then we go to God and say, God, what do you say? It's like us asking God, yeah, but so-and-so says this and so-and-so says that, but God, what do you say? It's kind of like what he said to Peter. What do you say? We say to Jesus, what do you say? What do you say, Lord? Amen. In Jesus' name. All right, Marge, $40. Thank you, Marge. Let's go here in a minute. Wait, we forgot about LaShawn. LaShawn, $100. Okay. Let me go. That's right. I just saw that come in, Michonne. Just saw you, girl. All right. There's Michonne. $100. Let me get that. Let me get Marja first. And Michonne after that. And what else we got here? Then we got Regina 10. I'm getting these. I'm just not seeing these. Regina 10. I'm going to get all these in seconds. Give me a minute. Y'all give me just a moment here. I'm kind of rechecking everything. I got an offer from Michonne, from Marja, from Regina. Checking to make sure I've got any. Oh, Angela Joy. I just saw that. All right. Thank you, Angela. I'm going to pray with that. And I think that when I get the print out, I think that will be it for the night. Everything. Yes. All right. So we got Mars, LaShawn, Anchor Joy, Regina. So we'll go here. All right. I just caught those. So I can get both of that. All right, Mars, you have $40. Thank you both for Mars. And Jesus' name, I think you both for breathing the breath of a fresh relationship, God, a fresh relationship in Jesus' name. Just let her drink the water. Her thirsting soul, God, hallelujah. We always thirst, not just for God, but for the things that God wants us to have. Because when you thirst for God and seek Him first, then the things that He has for us, that's when we pray about those things. We don't just love God and live in a cave, right? I guess that would be okay. We had food and water, right? But when you love God, He gives you a desire for things, you know, things like a wife or a husband, house, a home, car, the job, whatever, the provision. He gives you a desire for those things. So when you love Him, He gives you, so you start praying. I thank you, Lord, that with Marja, God, you've given her those desires for those things. Because she's seeking you first. And all those other things are added to you. So I thank you, Lord, that she's in the adding to you part. That's where she's at. And she's seeking you first. And all those things, what things? The husband, the family, the blessing in Jesus. That it's a blessing in Jesus. That's the proper way that God brings it. We go after the thing first. It gets out of order. We chase, around. Trying to find what we need, and yet God goes, well, seek me first, and I'll just add it to you. Thank you, Lord, that that's where she's at. You're adding to her in Jesus' name. Amen, because she's seeking you first in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. LaShawn, $100. Thank you, LaShawn. I see a new prophetic anointing coming on you and increasing your level of the level of classified information God gives you. There's different levels of classified information God gives us. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing her into that place of classified information, God, how to deal with it, how to treat it, how to know when to say it, when not to say it, how to say it, how to reveal it. We thank you, Lord, we're all learning. And we thank you, Jesus, that you're showing her how to reveal the things and the timing of things and the purpose of things. You just don't show her a thing, but you show her the purpose of a thing and how you're Sometimes you can show us things because you want us to take authority over it and make sure it doesn't happen. Other times you want it to happen. Other times you're going like, okay, I'm going to allow that to happen because I got some things going on. We have to, even though we may not understand it, we may want something else to happen, but God says, I'm not going to allow that to happen right now. I got something else going on. I got a bigger thing going on. But we have to like go, okay, God, show me your ways about that thing you're showing me, the purpose behind it. Do you want it to happen? You want me to pray that it stops? Or just know that it's you showing me that you're involved in it as far as you got something higher. We're going to start have to think higher and get revelation higher from God instead of getting a lower revelation, our own revelation on it, thinking we know what's going on. We know what's best. When God says, you don't know what's best, I'm going to show you my sovereign will if you can handle it. And those who can't handle it, he can't show them. It's how you hear the information. It's how you hear the information. Amen. I think the Lord was showing her how to be careful to hear like she is and to interpret and to speak it out, knowing the purpose behind the thing. Supposed to happen or not supposed to happen. You want to pray against it or just agree with you that you're in it and here's what you're in it for. Amen. All right. Regina, $10. Thank you, Regina. Thank you, Lord, for the timing, God. I thank you, Lord, for timing. Thank you, Jesus, for the timing of the Lord that the time that what I'm preaching right now, what I'm seeing, Regina, is the time the kingdom is at hand. And then saying that the kingdom is at hand means John the Baptist was saying the reason John the Baptist was out in the Jordan baptizing instead of in the temple with his where he's supposed to be because he was a Levite, said he was wearing camel's hair instead of linen, and he wasn't in the temple. He's out in the river getting dirty. Right? Mother and father were worried about him. I don't know. But what happens? He was out there saying the kingdom of God is at hand. So what was transitioning was there's a big transition happening, and no longer was things about the temple, but things was about Jesus. So he went out in the wilderness to wait for Jesus to show, because that was a big transition going on, and it was at hand. It was at hand, and that's the word for you, is that God wants you to get this mentality that this is really happening, and this kingdom of God is really at hand. And they said, they've been looking for the Messiah for years. Every generation looked for the Messiah. The Messiah, the Messiah, the Messiah. Who's the Messiah? We're the Messiah. And some people said they were the Messiah. They weren't the Messiah. But what's going on? And then the Lord says, in this season, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what John the Baptist said. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Get ready, because he's here. Not 10 years from now, not 5 years from now, but in the next few weeks, the next few months, he's going to be here. I'm waiting for him. He's not going to be another generation. It's going to happen now. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen, Regina. Awesome. All right, that at hand message. God bless you with that. All right, Angela Joy, $50. Thank you, Angela. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Divine intervention. I see some darkness that's trying to cover up things, and I see God doing a divine intervention. In Jesus' name, and blessing you in things that you not thought you'd never be blessed in. You're like in a whole different place, a whole different era, and watching God, give you favor, and put together things. Watch some things come together with your family, with your granddaughter, with all those things, and the blessing of God in the money realm, and blessing your money, blessing your finances. Blessing your love for doing the things, like me, I love to fix things and remodel things. I love it. I never made a lot of money at it, but I like the end result, right? So, even this day, I still do it at times for different people. I don't do it much, but I love it. I love doing that stuff, and God blesses me for it when I do it, because I plant it as a seed. I do it, So when God turns it into making money, and you're enjoying it and you're loving it, it really waters it and blesses it and causes it to grow fast. So I thank the Lord for the growing fast, of the watering of enjoyment and the joy of doing those things. Amen. That are new. Hallelujah. All right, Shannon. All right, Shannon, no prayer request, huh? Okay. All right, Shannon, thank you, Lee. Shikopata. Okay. Hang on a second. Give me just a moment here. Thank you. All right, I checked my text, and I see a few texts there that I need to respond to. Noel. There you go, Noel. Thank you. Anybody else? I think that's about it for tonight. Again, we always seem to finish around 11 o'clock. Wow. What's up with that on Thursday? Okay. Just a moment here. I double check everything. Thank you. Michael Williams, today? Yeah, today, $100. Thank you, Michael. You didn't tell me to check, and I just did it anyway. All right, I'm glad I checked that. Okay, Michael and Veronica. All right, Mike and Veronica, $100. Thank you for that. By Zell. Gotcha. All right, thank you, Lord, for Michael. We thank you, Jesus, for the spirit of victory, Father, that that God's going to show you how to maintain the spirit of victory, seeing victory in things that you haven't really thought before would be a victory, but it would be a victory for God. You know, it's like Joseph, when Joseph was from Potter's house, and was accused falsely and was thrown to prison. That didn't look like much, but that was like a victory for God, because he got him a little bit closer to the king. Sometimes when things go weird, we think it's like, oh no, we're going backwards. But for Joseph thought he was going backwards, but he was actually going forward. So I think it'll show him all the things that have victory in it, but don't look like victory. That have victory in it, but doesn't look like it. And I think it's Jesus. For opening us, showing them what real victory is, God. Times when some people are really sorrowful and miserable, like we're praying for your kids. Every time you see them, they're sorrowful and miserable. They think, oh no, we're losing. But really, if godly sorrow is working, that's a victory. So God's showing you how to see victory in a different way. Like, amen. Sometimes, so thank you, Lord, for blessing their wealth, their pocketbook, God, bless their money realm. In Jesus' name, let this be the year of treasures for them, God, to see the treasures of God in their life and their family and their money, God, and their anointings and their callings, in Jesus' name. I will leave the mantle of God that's upon Michael and Veronica. We thank you, Jesus, for increasing that, for multiplying that, for preparing that, for preparing the way for the Lord. All about preparing the way for the Lord. In Jesus' name, let it be done, God. Let the spirit of them be, let it be done, God, unto me according to thy word. Let it be done unto me according, whatever that is, let it be done unto me according to thy word. That's Mike and Veronica right there. In Jesus' name, let it be done unto me according to thy word. Amen. Hallelujah. To rebuke the devourer. God says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. Hallelujah. I'm going to rebuke him, the Lord says. Not about you, doing it so much as it is the Lord saying, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. Sometimes we get into things where God has to rebuke them. And I thank you, Jesus, for rebuking the devourer in Jesus' name in their behalf, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Wow, that was awesome. Really, really awesome. All right. So I'm trying to double check and make sure everything is done here. Thank you so much. Everything tonight. Check this to make sure this is check Zelle. Thank God I checked Zelle. Would have missed that. If you say 1 second. All right. We like 1 second. We like those 1 seconds. All right. Shannon. We forgot that. Did we pray for Shannon? I think we prayed for Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon. We just thank you for a double anointing, God, to break him through, God, in his ability to reason out things, the ability to reason things out by the Word of God, to call spiritual things spiritual, human physical things, and know the difference between them and what's human and physical, what's spiritual. God, I thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for opening that up to them, that we will be able to see that more clearer than ever and know by the word of the Lord what you're doing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. And give him wisdom. It's a spirit of wisdom. Spirit of wisdom knows when something's a curse or when something's just like somebody messed up something. Or, you know, we're just running low on energy, or we need to drink some more water, or we need to bind the devil. You know, the spirit of wisdom, the God that you've given to my brother, in Jesus' name, I will know the difference. Wisdom will be, any person lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. We don't ask of people, we ask of God. God might speak to people. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right. All right, Jeff and Uke, $123, thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for that that giving spirit, God, in Jesus' name. There's a difference between giving and having a giving spirit. And I thank you, Lord, for that giving spirit upon Jeff and you, God, as they team up together to have that giving spirit. When they give, it's from the giving spirit. It's not just being nice. It's not just being kind. It's not just doing something because you better do it, right? You're doing it because it is the spirit of giving. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave. And I thank you, Jesus, that the spirit of life and victory in them, Jesus, that when they give, they gather hands together in unity and reach out and touch. Yes, the beginning of God putting things in order, like what things are first, what things are second, what things are third, putting those things in order, the way they need to be put in order by the Holy Spirit. You're going to give them the order that you want to put things in Jesus' name. First things first, second things second, third things third. Get that in order, and your life's going to go amazingly easy and blessed. But first things first, second things second, third things third. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Show them, God, how to open up to that. Things in order, show them, give them wisdom on how the Bible says to do it, how the Word of God says to do it. When you get in line with the Word, you cannot fail. Satan cannot defeat you. It cannot happen. You can try, but he can't. Amen. May they see the spirit of victory in their life, God, the spirit of victory. In Jesus' name, open them up to that spirit of victory. Hallelujah. Amen. I cannot be defeated. I will not be defeated. Not because I'm strong and mighty, but because the Lord God is strong and mighty. He's powerful. He's awesome. He's amazing. He's the one. Hallelujah. And their eyes, God, you're opening up Jeff's eyes to see you, Jesus, in a way he's never seen before. A worship spirit in him like he's never had before. Opening him up to the spirit of worship. Hallelujah. And open up you, God, to that spirit of singing and worshiping God. Hallelujah. And opening up her heart, God, to sing unto the Lord, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The enemy can't stand thanksgiving. He wants us to all whine and complain. When I get in the whiny complaining mode, and I finally catch myself going, man, I'm getting whiny and complaining. What's going on? Because the more whiny and complaining I get, the more miserable I get, right? I'm going like, oh, my God, what am I doing? And so the Lord says, you know, give thanks and give praise. And think of these, whatever pure, lovely, you know, of good report, think on these things. And God, you're giving them, you're equipping their minds with what to think of, how to think. It's about how to think. And, you know, Jesus, the scripture I've taught on tonight, Luke 8, says about be careful how you hear, right? Yeah. So teach them how to hear Jesus, how to know. And then you're setting things in order, God, in their life, in their business. You're setting things in order. Amen. It began several months ago, but God began to set things in order. Amen. His order. Amen. Not the one world order. His order. Not our order, but the Lord's order. What the Lord ordered. The Lord is ordering your steps. Hallelujah. Ordering your steps, my brothers and my sisters. Hallelujah. All right. Awesome. God is so good. All right. It's been a really good night tonight. Thank you. Thank God I went to Zelle and caught that from Mike and Veronica. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Well, I guess we're going to call it a night. That's been an awesome night of prayer, worship, communion, teaching. Jesus is so awesome, man. He's so awesome. We give you the glory, God. Thank you for the prophet, for the prophetic word. We give you glory for the prophet. The prophet realm, we give you glory for the prophet realm, God. We thank you, Jesus, that we are connected to the prophet realm. Hallelujah. My God. We are blessed and favored, highly favored. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The last big move is going to be the prophet move. The two witnesses, they're the sign of what God, how God closes things up. They're not apostles. They're not evangelists. They do evangelize somewhat, but they're not. They're prophets. You know, whether they're Moses and Enoch, or Elijah and Enoch, whoever they are. You know, whether it's you and your wife, whoever the two witnesses are. You know, they're prophets. There's no doubt they're prophets. Because they're going to be prophesying to the globe. Amen. It's not just some rinky-dink thing going on. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, I'm going to call it a night tonight, y'all. It's been great. Thank you very much for being with us. And as far as I know, that's it. Thank you for letting us catch the wind of the breath of God. Let him breathe into us by the word of the Lord. Grace, unmerited, undeserved favor. God, you put in grace. Every person who gave tonight, and we prayed over, unmerited favor, grace. It's not deserved. We didn't work a work and make God happy. Okay, I think I like that. Unmerited, undeserved favor in Jesus' name. Imparted God's grace, empowering us to do the will of the Father. All right. Good night, everybody. We love you. Talk to you